I'm here today with David Kelly. David is a research technologist with the Whitaker Institute here at NUI Galway. Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon.
David, would you like to start by introducing yourself?
Yeah, sure. I'm research technologist for both the Whitaker and Moore Institutes and have been for the past 2.5 years. I'm based in the Hardiman Research Building. I have a degree in marketing, and before that I did the higher diploma in systems analysis here in what was St. Anthony's, and then after that I was down in UCC. I did a master's in e-commerce. I worked as a researcher on open source software as part of a PhD down there for 3 years. That was part of a sixth framework package, and I was funded by the Irish Research Council for the last year of it. Before I joined here, I had a web development company here in Galway for about 6 years, where I had a web application for small service businesses, and I was based out in GMIT in the incubator there, where I went through one of the enterprise programs, year-long enterprise program, and I worked with mainly small businesses and non-profits, and then I joined NUI Galway.
What type of supports do you provide to the research community here at the Whitaker Institute?
Well, I work with individual researchers and project groups on kind of broadly digital projects. So that could be anything from design, development, to more kind of support or training on digital technologies where there's a specific need, and also consultation on, I suppose, the technical aspects of funding applications where that's required. So often when people are trying to formulate an idea, they have an idea for a digital component, but they might not be able to scope the technical infrastructure that's needed to put it in place. So I can help them with that. The more kind of hands-on design and development work I do would be anything from web application to database development, doing things like enhancing or enriching data that researchers would have gathered themselves, or helping them gather new data through data mining. And also data visualization is quite a big part of what I've been doing, particularly on the Whitaker side. And because my background is in web technologies, most of that would be kind of interactive visualizations for use on the web.
So what is data visualization?
It's really producing visual tools or visual outputs that help either you as a researcher understand your data, or help the consumer of the output to understand the data. And I suppose taking it a step beyond the more kind of traditional research outputs of conference papers or journal publications, and into something that allows a bit more exploration of the underlying data set and lets people bring their own context to it. So, you know, if your project is based on a country, for example, you know, the people exploring it might be interested in where they live in the country, and it'll allow them to tailor the view to their own location. And doing that, it facilitates or improves communication with the people you're trying to communicate with. So because you're going beyond those the more traditional outputs, you're making it more accessible. So the audiences that you might be reaching who wouldn't necessarily read research papers could be policymakers or the general public or other interested stakeholders, kind of depending on the focus of the work. So the types of stuff that I do would be, you know, they could be kind of broadly categorized as web interactive type stuff where, as I said, people have the ability to interact with the data. So, you know, do things like look at particular categories or particular locations or whatever it might be, versus more kind of static visualizations, which could be, instead of just plotting your data or displaying it as a table, it could be displaying it as a map or in a set of charts or, you know, other kind of appropriate outputs. I suppose the real aim is, or I saw it described as, creating explorable explanations, which I think is a nice kind of way of thinking about it. It's explaining it, but you're not giving them the answer, you're giving the person the opportunity to delve into it a bit themselves, you know. So practically, there could be mapping or charts, things like network analysis, so displaying networks are some of the examples of work that I've done, or looking at your data over time, so presenting it, you know, again, taking a step beyond presenting it as a table, but you're giving the user the opportunity to move through time series data in a way that is a bit more engaging, I suppose.
And earlier you mentioned enhancing data and data mining. What do you mean by those terms?
I suppose it's about adding value to the data. That's what I mean by enhancing it. So that could be anything from, you know, if a researcher has a set of business data or business-specific data about companies, it could be geocoding it to allow it to be plotted on a map, or it could be using details from the data set to retrieve additional data about that item. So some examples could be, I did some work where we had a set of data on researchers, and it was using that to pull back other data from Scopus, so looking at the H-index stuff or career path history stuff. Or another example would be using company data to query the company registration office, so you're looking at trading histories or, you know, the start and end dates of companies and that type of stuff. But also the data mining side of things is creating or identifying and then, you know, pulling back new data sources. So the process for it would be identifying a source and then either writing software or using existing tools to pull back data that's relevant to the project. And then, you know, you go through things like cleaning it or manually validating it to make sure it is what you need and it's in the format that you need. And then, I suppose, transforming it into an appropriate output. So again, it depends on the needs of the project, but it could be anything from, you know, putting it into an Excel file to some sort of geographic data. But yeah, they'd be the main types. I suppose it's that type of work is mainly kind of, it's not really publicly visible as outputs from the project. It'd be more kind of at the input side of the research project. And it can be quite time consuming where, you know, there'd be custom tool development needed. So you're looking at integrating or writing code to integrate with different data sources or tools to do data management. So building databases to handle all the different types of stuff that you're pulling back. And it'd often need exploratory visualizations, which again, they may never be seen by anybody but the individual researcher or the research team, where it allows them to, I suppose, get a sense of what the data set is and perform types of analysis that, you know, it might not be appropriate or relevant to make it public, you know, as an output, but it kind of informs the researcher's work through the project.
What type of software would you have to use, David, or do you use yourself?
I'd use a lot of custom-built software. So my background, as I said, is in web development. So I suppose I'm most comfortable with kind of HTML, CSS, JavaScript and PHP, and also some Python now too, and using databases like relational or document databases. And on the visualization side, tools like D3 or Leaflet or HiCharts. But I suppose they're quite technical, and I think they'd be in many cases beyond the scope of what a lot of researchers would like to be getting into or, you know, knowing about or learning about.
They certainly kind of go over my head a little bit anyway. Just for the non-technical people like myself, are there tools available for people interested in experimenting on their own?
Yeah, sure. There's, I suppose, depending on the stage of the project that you're looking at, there's a variety of both free or open source tools or some paid options that in some cases are good and, you know, you're probably better going with them. But I suppose at the stage of gathering data, there are tools like import.io, which allows you to create what are called web scrapers. So in data mining, you're often looking at web-based sources, and this will allow you to identify a set of web pages and pull data out of it in a structured way. So you might get a spreadsheet back or whatever output is appropriate. Then at the next stage, you'd be looking at cleaning or validating the data, and there are tools like Excel, which I think most people are pretty well familiar with. There's also another very good one called OpenRefine, which started out as Google Refine, which is a really powerful tool for cleaning and enhancing the data. So it lets you, you know, if you need to add a country, say, to addresses, it'll let you do that very easily. Or, you know, if you need to remove extra commas or, you know, whatever it might be. But it also allows you to do things like enhance the data. So you might be passing it to, say, Google for geocoding if you want to get latitude, longitude to be able to plot your, you know, addresses on a map, for example. And then I suppose the biggest area would be visualization, where there are tools like Tableau, which is a really good tool for exploratory analysis. It'll be kind of in a similar vein to Excel, where you're dragging and dropping to get different views of your data, and it hooks up to an Excel file or CSV file or a database if that's what you have. And then for more geographic type stuff, there are things like CartoDB, which is a paid web service where you pay a monthly subscription. But again, it's really powerful. If you give it a data set, it'll do all kinds from identifying the locations to allowing you to view time series to viewing you know, different categories within the data. And also things like Gephi I've used for network analysis. So if you're looking at, I suppose, connections between organizations or people, it's a good way of visualizing it. And that's open source. And then something like Adobe Illustrator, where you want to produce a kind of a well-designed output from whatever tool you're using. Again, that'd be a paid option, but there are free alternatives like Inkscape available for that too.
Could you tell me a little bit about some of the projects that you've worked on, David, here at the Whitaker Institute in terms of your data visualization skills?
Yeah, sure. So at the moment, I'm doing some work on Dunera, which is Aidan Kane's project. He's got quite a large data set there, and he's done a lot of work himself on visualizing different parts of it. So he's delved into the development himself and has produced lots and lots of different interactive charts. What I'm doing with it is, I suppose, thinking about a broader audience and trying to introduce some maps and different views of time series and combinations of the two. So I suppose pulling different categories out of his data set and trying to, I suppose, present them in an interesting way. Another project that's just after starting is the Creative Momentum project with Pat Collins. And at the moment, the focus on that is really about planning the data mining side of things. So looking at potential data sources and coming up with processes for how we're going to gather the data that's relevant to what they're trying to achieve with that. So they're the two main ones that are ongoing at the moment. In the past, the GalwayDashboard.ie project launched back in July. That was part of a partnership with Galway City and County Councils. It was led by James Cunningham here. And it was an economic baseline assessment for the city and county. And one of the outputs was the Galway dashboard, which presents everything from CSO data to social, environmental and economic data about the city and county in, I suppose, an interactive and easy to use manner. And it's been used by everybody from policy analysts in councils to, I was speaking to a planner this morning in the council as well, they're using it for the development plan, and I've spoken to people in the business community who are using it for market research. It's getting out there a bit, I suppose. It's featured on the IDA website for promoting the West, you know, to give people some insights into the local area. Another interesting one that I worked on was a social network analysis of arts and cultural practitioners in Galway, which was a project led by Pat Collins. And in that, we interviewed 70 practitioners who've produced work in the last 12 months here in Galway, and they were interviewed about both their demographic and kind of funding backgrounds, but also their connections and who they interact with and how they interact with them. And out of that, we've started looking at how the networks are formed and, you know, how people interact with each other and between different types of communities in that area. I've also been involved in doing some work with Galway 2020, which was gathering some of the initial data and doing some visualization work on that. And also the Creative Edge project, which, again, it started out as data mining, so pulling back data about creative industries in the west of Ireland and the other partner regions, and then looking at ways of visualizing it, so create interactive visualizations, which are presented on the Creative Edge website.
And how did you become interested in this type of work, David?
It was sort of a natural progression, I think. I've always been interested in kind of a wide range of web technology and user interface design and open data generally, how information is communicated. And when I had my company, the product, it was for small service businesses, and it had elements of data visualization, but I suppose I didn't really think about it like that at the time. I was trying to surface useful data for business owners who would be totally non-technical and present it in a meaningful way to help them make business decisions. And I think it kind of led on from there. But with this work, I think there's a scope for additional impact from research outputs, like beyond the more traditional academic outputs like conference papers or journal papers, like I said. And I think that accessibility, or opening up that accessibility, is really interesting, and, you know, involving new people or involving new audiences, and how that affects the impact of the work that people are doing is interesting, because I think, you know, for the most part, academics are interested in having their work used or being seen, and I think visualization is a good approach to doing that in many cases.
it's obvious then that people like to view data in the non-traditional sense now, you know, in a more visual sense. And I know, having seen some of your work, it certainly brings that type of research to life. With all that in mind, is there other areas, you know, that you'd like to explore yourself in terms of how data is presented?
Yeah, well, I think animation and video are two that are interesting that I don't have any background in, but it's on my list of things to learn. And I think with the growing amounts of open data that are being made available by, you know, mainly public bodies, but other sources as well, I think they're all going to have an effect on how people can supplement their research work. So I think there's a lot of scope in both of those areas. And then there, like further down the road, there are things like augmented reality and virtual reality, which are on the horizon and are going to do great things for entertainment, I would think. But I think for data visualization generally, I think there's definitely scope for exploring potential uses there as well.
Thank you very much, David. If you'd like to learn more about David's work and indeed to actually view the beautiful visualizations that David has put together, you can do so by visiting David's own website, davidkelly.ie, or indeed by visiting the Whitaker Institute website, whitakerinstitute.ie. Thank you, David.
Thank you.